Thank you.
This is far away.
Well, good afternoon. I'm Peggy Mazaros, and I'm part of a collaborative group of researchers who reside at Virginia Tech, the University of Virginia, and Carilion Health Systems. What I'm going to speak about today is putting participation in community-based participatory research, and I'm going to give you some insights from one rural community. I would be interested, before I start, to see how many of you have ever participated in community-based participatory research. Let me see your hands. Oh, good. Well, you will hopefully resonate with some of the things that I'm going to describe as some of the challenges in doing this important work. The purpose of our study was to chronicle the development, implementation, and evaluation of a community participatory research team through the second year. We're actually in the third year now, but what I'm going to show you will take us through the second year. We are in a tobacco-producing county in rural Virginia, and it's about 3 hours from Blacksburg, where I'm located, about 2 hours from the University of Virginia, where some of my coworkers are located. There are lots of goals we're trying to achieve. One is to particularly reduce the current adolescent tobacco use. The most recent statistics have us at 19.5, with an overall goal of adolescent smoking reduction to 16%. So we are on our way, but we're not there yet. Substance abuse, as you all know, is a very complex, risky problem with many facets. We find that youth in rural states have higher smoking and smokeless tobacco rates, and they're at a higher risk of abuse of other substances than urban youth. And of course, tobacco addiction can occur as early as a few months after the onset of smoking. This research project showcases efforts to integrate rigorous research methods with strategies to involve key community members. Our CBPR has youth, it has parents, and it has community leaders. The mayor of the town, some ministers, people who serve in various administrative roles, police officers, school counselors, a very good mix, are equal partners with us in the design, implementation, and evaluation of a youth substance use preventive intervention. We've taken some intentional formative steps in conducting our CBPR research. We follow recommendations from the literature, including building trusting long-term relationships and identifying some rules of operation for active decision-making. And as those of you who've participated in this kind of research know, it takes much longer, or at least that's been our experience, than if we were working just directly with a research project at our various universities. There are some ideals to be achieved in this type of project, and some real down-to-earth things that can be done. You want to recognize assets and resources in a community rather than the deficits. And our project has focused on a review of community assessments, strengths, and assets. We've done this in a variety of ways. We've done windshield surveys, and by we, I mean the entire team. We have about 22 community partners, and there are, at any given time, 7 or 8 researchers, including graduate students who are involved in this research. We try to balance our community members' and researchers' involvement, and it's been a bit of a challenge to draw out our community members to take leadership roles. We first asked them to volunteer. We've had some sign-up sheets, and we finally have resorted to just appointing or asking, would you be willing to lead the meeting? And they are willing, it's just that they've been a little hesitant to step forward. We've used a photo voice in our interviews because we found in some previous projects that this tends to draw out particularly our male participants who, once they've taken photographs and they can relate to pictures and give their opinions and ideas, seems to go much easier than just asking in the abstract answers to questions. So this qualitative approach has been an effective way of sharing views about a topic. We've enhanced the community assessment with, as I said before, the photographs during a windshield survey. We equipped everyone with cameras. They went out in cars and on foot around the entire county and then brought those photographs back where we had them rank the ones that were most important depending on our protocol, and then have discussion. A lot of published resources recognize this continuum of limited partnerships to more fully developed partnerships as these community folks sign on as equals in a study design. Now, we think this is absolutely the most important piece of being able to sustain whatever we develop together. When you get a community involved in identifying what its problems are, in our case related to adolescent substance abuse, where they feel totally involved in gathering the data that describe the problems, and then help to develop the intervention, which we hope then will build the sustainability of repeating the intervention after our research project is over. We meet where the community is available. It's a local restaurant. It's actually the only restaurant, but fortunately they have a private room that they donate to us once a month. It gives us a way to have food. We always serve food first before we launch into our meeting. That's another one of the participatory rewards, we think. Each of our participants is also paid $20 per meeting that they attend. We do listen. And we do what the community wants. We celebrate participation at key points. We had some of our youth who graduated high school, and so we had a special ceremony where we gave them certificates and cups. We brought some special treats for dessert, healthy desserts for that evening meal. And we do have a very large group of community members who can play different roles. We've been able to replace all of our youth, and in fact, some of our youth who graduated are going to community college in the community, and they are continuing with us. So some of the lessons learned, there are always issues encountered in obtaining IRB approval for this type of research. We were further complicated in that we had two university IRB systems, the University of Virginia and Virginia Tech. And even though one, we always started with UVA, and once they approved, then you'd think Virginia Tech would just accept the approval. No, we had to go through the entire full IRB. Fortunately, the Carilion Health Systems would accept whatever Virginia Tech said. Getting our participants trained in the IRB procedures was another challenge we faced, and we were only instructed to get our adult members in the IRB system, but we had to actually go down to our rural site several times, meet individually, and literally handhold our participants through the questions and answers and getting them certificates. There is a challenge also in working with a lay community from a distant rural locality. As I mentioned, it's a 3-hour trip down for Virginia Tech, about a 2-hour for UVA. The meeting itself lasts 2.5-3 hours. And then this is late in the evening when we return to our respective homes. But we do think it's worthwhile. Funding for this kind of research can be limited. We did receive funding from our Virginia Tobacco Settlement Foundation, which is now the Virginia Healthy Youth Foundation. And fortunately in Virginia, a large portion, well, maybe not large enough, but a sizable portion of funds was set aside for research, and we did receive funding for the study. Federal and state level or foundation funding is also somewhat difficult. However, the listserv for CBPR for collaborators, don't know if all of you are on it or not, but I found it to be very helpful in not only putting us in touch with others who are doing this research, but some other possible sources of funding. And of course, we need to continue to present these studies with effectiveness data, as this type of research is just really coming into its own. We are now creating a dynamic, productive community research partnership model, which we hope will sustain a youth substance use prevention program with potential to facilitate success in similar projects in other rural communities. We are hoping to document our process, and if we are successful, then this, we think, will perhaps be a model for other communities to look at. We're engaged right now in looking at protective factors to design this community-based participatory intervention to promote tobacco-free lifestyles in rural tobacco-producing counties. We have interviewed community leaders, we've interviewed youth, and our next set of interviews, which will actually be next week, will be with parents of youth in this particular community. We call upon lots of good references and acknowledge again that our study was funded by the Virginia Foundation for Healthy Youth, formerly the Virginia Tobacco Settlement Foundation. Okay.